welcome to the second week of our series called Out of Darkness. Evil is a reality in our world. It's a reality in our world, and just look at the history books, and they're filled with war, violence, and corruption. Often it's hard to understand why bad things happen to good people, and why the powers of darkness always seem to prevail. And if you or someone you love is going through a dark season right now, it's not by accident that you're listening to this message, because God wants to speak to you in the darkness. He wants to call you out of it. He wants to tell you that it's not over, that the darkness is not all that there is. There are better days ahead. When Jesus went out into the desert after he had been baptized, the devil tempted him three times in various ways. Each time he resisted, as we heard last week. And he was showing us that the enemy's power is real, but it is not final. He was showing us that when we put our lives in God's hands, that the darkness no longer has the final say. Fear no longer has the final say. Your past no longer has the final say. He was showing us that we are not powerless, that the situation is not hopeless. Because as we said last week, with Christ, you've got the power. You've got the power to call out the lies, to cast out evil, and to face down the enemy. Now today, in the second week of the series, I want to talk with you about glory awaits. We all face times where life changes in a flash, right? Things might be going well at work or, you know, in your family, with your health and with your finances. You know, everything's just clicking, but then something unexpected happens. I was visiting with a friend that I hadn't seen in quite a while, and he'd always been in good health. This was a few weeks ago I went to see him. He had always been in good health, never had any major problems, until one day he went in for an operation that was supposed to be routine. And somehow his body reacted in an unusual way, and without warning, he became incapacitated, couldn't even get out of bed. And this started almost a year ago. He had to hire full-time caregivers. He never expected to be in that position. But this can happen in any area of life. The new boss doesn't like you for some reason, starts coming down on you hard, and before you know it, suddenly you're being pushed out. Or your spouse suddenly walks away, or your child suddenly gets off course. It comes as a shock. But just as suddenly, the darkness can leave. The mean boss gets fired. Your spouse comes back and apologizes. Your child finds the right path. My friend is getting better. He is getting better. Because on the other side of that dark cloud is the light. You can't see it yet, but at the other end of that dark tunnel, glory awaits. See, this is what Jesus was showing Peter, James, and John today in the gospel reading. He led them up a high mountain, and the passage says he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes turned white as light. Two figures from the Old Testament showed up, Moses and Elijah. They started talking with Jesus, and then from a cloud, the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Peter, James, and John fell to the ground, frightened, but Jesus reassured them, said not to be afraid. And when it was all over, he instructed them in no uncertain terms not to tell anyone what they had seen on that mountain until after he had risen from the dead. I can just imagine them thinking, no way, we've got to tell the others. They have to know that Jesus is who he says he is. They have to know. So why did Jesus charge them with secrecy? One reason is because he knew that Peter, James, and John, those three disciples, more than the others, would soon be surrounded by evil and plunged into darkness. Those three, you sound like me, those three disciples, Peter, James, and John, they would be the ones to see Jesus suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before his crucifixion when he was praying in agony. Peter would be the one who denied Jesus three times. Three times he would deny Jesus after Jesus had been arrested. And John would stand at the foot of the cross watching him die. Jesus knew that these three disciples needed an extra encouragement, a special boost in faith. And the transfiguration is exactly what they needed, because in the worst moments that lay ahead, they could always look back and remember the glory that they had seen on that mountaintop. And you know, what's interesting is that Jesus did not become glorious in that moment. He simply revealed the truth of his identity. Peter, James, and John did not see Jesus really change who he was. They just saw him for who he was for the first time, so that they would have hope. They would have hope in those dark times that they would soon be facing. In the fear and the sadness and the worry and the pain before the resurrection, they could know that after the horror of the cross, glory awaited. They didn't know really how the story would end. You and I do. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. We know that he lives in glory with his Father, his Heavenly Father now. We know that he is the King of the universe, that he watches over us. He's on the throne watching over us every day. But still, when the darkness comes, and you're stuck in the middle of it, it's hard to remember the triumph and the victory. That's because pain makes us short-sighted. It's all we can see in the moment. Tuesdays are my days to write my homilies. My team knows that unless it's Jesus' second coming, the apocalypse is coming, please do not disturb me on a Tuesday. And like a baseball player, I have all these strange, superstitious, crazy rituals to make sure that it comes out just right. I have to do it exactly the same way and exactly the same time to make sure that it comes out right. And one of those strange rituals is that I get up very early in the morning and I go down to the gym to work on my core. Now, that's not really strange in and of itself, but I cannot miss it on a Tuesday. No way, because when I'm working on my core, I call it mat time. I know, this is crazy. Mat time. Because somehow, when I'm lying on a mat doing crunches, sit-ups, and planks, the ideas from my homily just start to flow. But what's interesting, or at least to me, what's interesting, is that the creativity only comes in between the sets, when I'm resting. During the most painful parts of the workout, you know, when I'm in that plank 15 minutes straight, just kidding, you know, and you're in the most painful part of that workout, I can't think of anything except the pain. And when you're in pain, you think, this is how it's always going to be. I'm never going to find a job. My health is never going to improve. My life is basically over. There's no future for me except bankruptcy court. But God already sees over the horizon even when you can't. He knows the darkness is temporary even when you think it's forever. Just like Jesus showed Peter, James, and John that there would be victory after the cross, God is saying to you and to me, don't mistake the middle of your story for the end. Because even in the darkness, glory still awaits you. 20 years ago, my life fell apart. I've told you the whole long, sordid story. My life basically fell apart. Everything that I had known and had counted on was suddenly came to an end. And I felt empty and confused and had no idea what would come next. It felt like the end, like the final chapter of my story had already been written. From that point on, I thought there would only be pain, sadness, and loss. But what I didn't know and what I could never have guessed is that God was already looking over the horizon, and he saw a bright future for me when all I could see was failure and disappointment. He was already bringing preparing a plan to bring me out of darkness and show me the path to a new life. Show me the path to life. God, what I could never have imagined is that God would have, 10 years later, made me his priest. And while it's certainly not a glamorous life, I believe it's definitely a glorious one. In fact, my greatest privilege has been to serve God and his people. I never dreamed in a million years that on the other side of that darkness I was living through, victory was already on the way. A fresh start was coming down the line. Glory awaited me. The key is to trust God. He sees what we can't. He's not stuck in the middle of your story. He knows how it turns out. We see this in the first reading today. God told a man named Abraham to leave his family, leave his home, everything he had ever known. He said, go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house and to a new land that I will show you. To be honest, it wasn't really an attractive offer, was it? I mean, there was no sign-on bonus, no relocation package, not even a map, just the unknown. And Abraham lived in a bustling, affluent city. He came from a privileged, wealthy family. And the land in that area was fertile, the weather was mild, and the area was stable. And he traded all of that for the life of a wandering nomad. He didn't own the land. He had to live out of a tent. He was a stranger in a foreign country. The weather there was hot and dry, desert. The terrain was harsh and hilly. Water was scarce. Abraham wasn't winning. He was losing. Except God already saw the finish line for Abraham. And he said, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all the communities of the earth will find blessing through you. One day, God was saying, it's all going to be worth it. Abraham would have the land. He would be the father of many nations. He would leave an everlasting legacy, and he would be a blessing to everyone on this earth. In other words, glory awaited Abraham on the other side of the uncertainty, on the other side of the unknown, on the other side of the darkness. There's a man named Tyler Perry. You may have heard of him. He grew up in an environment that was so painful, most people would have given up before they even began. Abuse, poverty, fear. As a child, he would hide under the front porch of his home, his house, to escape what was going on in the inside. He would make up these stories in his mind to distract him and to keep him away, his mind away from the pain of his dysfunctional family. That darkness could have defined him. But somehow on the inside, he knew that's not how his story was supposed to end. And as he started to grow up, he started writing more and more stories about faith and family. Faith and family. And eventually, he invested his entire life savings in a stage play that he wrote, and it failed. Not once or twice, but six times over a 7-month period. At one point,